I mean, hell, we'll see how tonight goes. Maybe we'll use any of it.
I just meant, like, is this conversation right now going to go in the podcast, or is this going to get edited out?
You never know.
No, most likely, as you can hear, I'm also got the flat Sammy B voice, which is just the the warm up, and then it's
because you have your "I'm not recording right now" voice, but the thing said recording.
I'm just sitting here listening to all this.
Oh my god.
Out at Barney, so
there's probably a lot of people in there 4th of July, huh? All day, all that stuff.
Oh yeah, no, it's
I did that Friday.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was doing that when I was in Indianapolis. So, anywho, you are listening to Just Here for the GLSR. My name is Sammy B. I'm the driver of the 22, and I'm joined by a smorgasbord of drivers. Now, the one that isn't a driver is Mr. Chris Scala. Chris, hello.
Hello. I officially have a better finish this season in the number 22 Black Horizon Brewery truck than Sam Barnes does.
Hold on. We're gonna come back to that. I'd like to introduce our other drivers we've got here right now. We've got Chris Evans, Josh Canyon, and Luke Daniels all on the hot seat. This is going to be a crazy episode. So, hold on. What do you mean by that, Chris?
I finished 12th in the SE Open yesterday at Chicagoland in the Black Horizon number 22.
Which one?
The Dr. Pepper paint.
Now, okay, hold on. That's not true, though, because I have also done SE Open, and I ended up 8th, and then I did a SE Fix, and I was 3rd. So, no, you haven't done better than Sammy B in the Black Horizon 22. Now,
do you have video?
I got screenshots of results. I could pull up video.
Because you know what they say, video or it don't count.
Chris, one day you're going to have to accept that I'm no longer bad, that I'm merely mediocre.
I don't know. Give it about 20 minutes when we get into the race conversation. We'll be back at this conversation of, oh, poor Sam, and I'll have to go get the violin music and all this stuff.
Okay, it wasn't a great race for me. I'm going to just say that up front.
Less than 20 minutes.
I'm just saying. There's plenty of other individuals that are here that can share their thoughts on how, oh, wait, by the way, this is brought to you by Black Horizon Brewery. They make beer. Gotta get that one in there. This is Dune Shaper, a golden ale, one of my favorites. Let's start with someone who was bumping bumpers all race long with Mr. Dean, Chris Evans. How was your time at the short track of Martinsville?
Actually, I had a blast. It was one of my favorite tracks, considering that's what I love to do every week on iRacing, short track racing, a lot of late models and legends. So Martinsville was fun. I was pretty quick. I went from the up front and the back and back up front.
Maybe it was that beautiful number Sith Talk 51 you were rocking. One of my favorites I've done in a while.
I almost drove that one.
The one that was only a little more, I mean, it was up there. And I'm just going to say this. Dean has been kind of off and on all season, but the second he throws on a paint scheme made by me and not someone else, he does really well. I'm just saying. Mr. Daniels, how was your race at Martinsville?
All right, who's next?
Mr. Luke Daniels.
No, who's after him?
Josh.
Go ahead, Josh.
I don't need to interrupt, Luke. It's okay. Take your time.
I can't blame him. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, you go ahead.
After you.
We got the old-fashioned Canadian standoff going here, I guess. But okay, I guess I'll take center stage here. My Martinsville was pretty good early on, and then like most races, not so good. I was determined to, you know, take it easy, not fight hard, just like, just chill, just ride and let what happens happen. Try to avoid the wrecks and then try to be in somewhere for a decent position at the end of the race. However, we had a restart where that did not go according to plan. And I think the biggest takeaway here is whenever you hear somebody recommend picks on the podcast, ignore it. Because they do not work. And, well, that's what happened to me. I was an unfortunate victim. I mean, I can't really be mad at anybody involved there. I mean, just it's racing, stuff happens and whatnot. But unfortunately, I was just in one of those situations where I had nowhere to go and no chance to avoid it. And my race ended before the halfway point. And it's a shame, but is what it is, I guess.
I'm going to sound controversial saying this, but even though I drove the worst race out of anyone on the whole grid, I still think that was better than most of our Bristol races. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm intrigued to hear what Chris or anyone else has to say.
Stop comparing apples to oranges.
But that's overall. I know they're one's basically mini Dover, but I still think that, yeah, there was some short track messes, but we actually had some, we had green flag pit stops. Who expected that?
Fact.
True. But the thing about Martinsville is that although it does tend to have a lot of cautions, they tend to be like single car or like two car incidents, whereas Bristol tends to have accidents that take out 8-10 cars, or at least 8-10 cars are heavily damaged. At Martinsville, that's kind of rare, really, which is why that restart was such a surprise, because there were a lot of cars torn up in that, and that's pretty unusual for that track.
I think it's a speed thing, because when you go to Bristol, you look at a track that you're going 100 and almost 30 miles an hour into a corner that you slow to only about 100, where Martinsville, you're going into a corner at about 110. You're slowing to about school zone speed and back up to 130. So, you know, I think the opportunity's there to pile into a wreck, where you look at like a wreck like Drifts, turn three, I believe it was. Yeah, we'll talk about that, but you know, it's he just simply spun out and everybody was able to miss because they were slowing down at that point.
Josh, I didn't get to hear from you much yet. I want a little input.
I'll keep it short and sweet. My race was terrible. I had the same strategy as Luke, just hang out in the back, you know, enjoy the ride, but that never works out. It's been my strategy this whole season. That never works out. But hey, it's all right.
Go ahead, Josh.
No, I was just going to say, it's like you said, Chris, it's apples and oranges. Bristol and Martinsville, they're two in the same, but two completely different, you know?
I was going to say he and his teammate had a very hard throwback to miss.
It was a little hard, wouldn't you say?
I'm not going there.
I mean, there was certainly some stiffy competition up front there.
Wow. At the end.
That was a good one.
No, I mean, I accidentally almost caused a very controversial end of the race, but Mr. Sparling certainly put on a good battle there with Sam Fontaine, who really, I don't want to say was completely in his league of his own, but very near that. But it was nice seeing, watching the broadcast over again. There was some good green flag racing, and it was way better than I expected. I guess maybe my expectations were set completely differently for this race. So when, yes, we did have some very strange restarts, which, you know, interesting gear choices were made. But overall, I still think it was better than expected. I expected the apocalypse, but it still was better than that.
Agreed.
So, but no, if I driver of the day, it's hard not to say not Sam Fontaine. I mean, I think Chris Dean would be a notable mention in that. Drove clean all day, did a good job. Well, not clean all day.
No.
Not clean all day. He kept it clean enough to get to the end. Chris Evans will disagree. But he didn't have a wrecked truck. Drove hard, I'll say that. Blaine almost had a solid second place finish, untimely caution. Came out and got him. who else should be in the mix for that?
You've nailed some good ones there. I mean, Fontaine, obviously, for the way he just blew the smithereens out of the field.
I want to say Dylan Glass. He drove an amazing race. Almost that last up the front.
I agree with that one.
Dylan Glass.
Yeah, Dylan's good. Yeah, he finished fifth in the race. I mean, Blaine's a good one. I mean, if he would have left a little less than like four truck lengths to his inside, he might have had a chance to battle Fontaine for the win.
You know who would have been in the mix if they could have just got it into the end was Alex Cummings, considering he brought his scrap truck nearly to the end there.
Alex was a part of four cautions in that race, and I don't think any of them were his fault.
Yeah, that was a tough day in the office for him.
He's had two rough races now.
Still holding down point lead, though, right?
Well, when the second place guy in points gets only 30 laps complete because his Walmart internet goes out all night, I guess you're going to have that.
Hey, I mean, once we get to the playoffs, it'll be very interesting to see how luck shakes out.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think all those guys are definitely up there. It's just so hard to not say Fontaine because he just was such a clear dominant force out there. But Glass is definitely a good inclusion on that.
Yeah. He just drove a good race, I think. I mean, he started almost dead last and made his way up to fifth, so.
And I think we have to remember is that, like, he's not, I mean, I don't know what he's doing in officials otherwise, but as far as like league races, you know, he's able to make it to some and not others. So the fact that, right, you know, he's not someone who's been in the rhythm now for how many weeks or months every Wednesday, you know, he's just jumping in when he can. So the fact that he was able to turn up like that and do a good job, definitely. One thing
that could be overlooked too is how close he came to being out of the race by like lap 20. I mean, I go back to the Sam, what was the caution off turn two that you jumped on the brakes because it was right in front of you?
My spin early.
There was one that happened. I saw your truck, but then right behind you was Dylan Glass.
What happened was, I think it was, I'm trying to remember how exactly happened. There was a stack up, and Luke Knupp, I'm pretty sure, was the one that turned me technically, but it was because Blaine got knocked into and kind of got loose. So yeah, he almost was in that mess. Somehow they didn't get a caution thrown, but yeah, in that moment I was around and I just held it there. Now that might have been the first one, but there was another where was it? I'll tell you who definitely had a hard day in the office was bad luck. I feel like a lot of time where he just barely hit someone a little bit and they would go around was Sean.
And
a lot of those just felt like it wasn't like he overshot the corner by a mile. It was just enough to where it was a little touch, and that's all it takes sometimes, right at the right spot. So I think Sean was a part of that, if I'm remembering that right. Forgive me, Sean, if that's not true. I don't know. I expected way worse from this race. I did horrible, but we won't, you know. Chris loves hearing about my lamentations.
Hang on, where's the violin?
I'll spare you. I was a non-factor. So this is going to sound crazy, but I'd be up for it again, even though I did terrible. I would much rather give Martinsville another go around than Bristol. That's my two cents.
Yes, I agree.
Same here. Same here.
Although, next, and here's something where I will applaud. Now, again, I was not a part of the decision making for next season's calendar. They put Myrtle Beach and Nashville Fairgrounds back to back races 8 and 9, which now looking back at it, I'm like, okay, that is smarter because I feel like a lot of people are in that groove now of working with each other on a short track, having the one right after that, you know, hopefully some of that muscle memory will still be there for next season where, you know, it won't be like, okay, we're having to completely adjust from, you know, flat out hold the pedal down all the way around to on the brakes heavy, you know, feathering the throttle, giving room. So, cause I definitely feel ready for more ready for a short track race than I thought I would before that.
Agreed.
Now, I didn't really have anything locked in because we've got the All-Star race coming up. 1987 to Talladega should be a fun time. I don't think there's any fantasy picks for that, but that is something I would have to double check with Travis on. I don't believe, since there's going to be a lot of wild cards thrown in there, hopefully. I know a few past GLSR drivers will be showing up. Super excited. Who knows? I mean, Evans, you are one of our super speedway specialists. Do you feel like you still have it in the bag, even though it's an entirely different car?
Probably yes, because it's well, for one, super speedway racing is literally it's the same thing in any car. You're just gonna miss the wrecks to get there at the end. If you're there at the end, you have a chance to win.
Looking back, the only thing I wish we would have changed is I wish we would have done it like how they do in official sports Legacy Daytona. It's just a lot bumpier.
Yes.
helps spread out the field a little bit. But alas, we have already committed. So, I mean, unless, you know, Scala, I don't know if you got any thoughts or input on that, Josh or Luke, because otherwise this is a very informal show. I don't have a lot planned.
I'm curious to see what... the racing when it comes to this 87 car, because obviously it's been a lot of work done with the car or whatever, and to try to stable it a little bit. But the fact of the matter is you could still go sit on the left rear of somebody's car and he's gonna, well, probably fly like an airplane pretty quickly. So I'm curious to see the handling specs and how people go out there and race each other and that kind of thing. I think you're still going to see the pack a slight bit. I think you're going to see, to a point, these guys are going to learn really quickly, kind of like the next gen, or not next gen, but the car tomorrow, that they're almost going to have to treat the car like they're racing at like a Michigan or something. They're not going to be able to just go flat out and hold it, you know, balls to the wall in the corner. They're going to have to kind of let out the corner easy and then kind of let the car slide up the track and do its own thing. To survive the race, because you get in the wall, obviously it's going to hurt the aerodynamics. And when you're going 200 and whatever you're going to be going, 220 probably, 230 in the draft, any little bump in the wall with these cars is going to be game over.
Yeah, agreed. I just hope everybody's ready, I guess, put in the practice. You know, we're jumping into a different car. I guess we do that every day depending on what people do, but it's a whole different animal compared to any other car that we're racing on a normal basis, you know. So hopefully people put in the practice and the effort and it won't be a total dump, you know.
Well, I know I'm gonna put up one tomorrow and I hope people will use the practice sessions before the actual race too, but that's why I'm glad that we also will have the heat qualifier where you know, we'll have regular qualifying, then the heat races to officially set the grid, so that people will have more than just a little bit to actually be like, okay, and now we're in the pack. So it should be fun. I really like the 87 cars. I don't race them enough to feel like I know them like the back of my hand, but they're a good time. I'll have a car that's a handful. So, and I don't know, at the end of the day, I hope people have fun, which granted, I hope that on a regular basis. And sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't. All right, again, I didn't have a super locked in plan for this episode, and you know, I know we could talk about, you know, the overall history of what we've done so far in the league, but honestly, I think we are getting pretty close to, you know, we've got one more week to go before Michigan, and then it's the start of the playoffs. It'll be interesting to kind of, as a group that we've got here today, recap what we've thought of the season so far. I mean, a lot of people have had their own individual struggles, and I think we'd each have some interesting opinions on what races that were maybe our favorite or not our favorite, or a track that you'd like to come back to, or one that you definitely not want to go back to. So I'm leaving it super open. This is the a free-for-all. And we're just going to chat and have a good time.
Here for it, for sure.
So I guess I'll kick us off. What's what's been your favorite race of the season so far? And we'll start with Evans.
Well, there's definitely two of them for me. Especially Kentucky had a really good run there in the 51 truck, and definitely also Martinsville was really fun. So those two races are my favorite. A lot of fun. I was fairly competitive in both those races. So those two.
All right, and Josh,
I'm gonna throw this out of left field. I'm gonna say Knoxville, and I'm not a dirt driver at all, but for some reason I could just make it happen that weekend, and it worked out, and it was fun again racing the heats and people not knowing what they're doing. It separates some people, you know, but Knoxville was cool. It's also a super fun track in general, so that helps.
Yeah, I was broken up. I had to miss that race. I definitely, seeing some of the replays from that, definitely looked like every season I feel like the dirt race is always a good time. I'm not sure what exactly it is, if it's the nature of the truck is just kind of not out of its element on a dirt track, but it half works. So I think that adds a lot of the fun of it. Yeah, but Knoxville was one I was definitely sad I had to miss. But Luke.
I'm sure that'll be back.
Luke. What were some races you look back at fondly?
Surprisingly, I think I would have to say Belle Isle. As much as I don't like that track and as much as I really dislike the truck around there, we did have some pretty good racing around there, and definitely went a lot better than most of my other races this season. Knoxville looked like it would have been a really fun time, but unfortunately I also couldn't make it there, and that was a shame. But definitely had a good time battling with Fontaine there for a while, and that was some of the cleanest hard fought racing all season in, I mean, almost any league that I've run. I mean, just the way that we could have the trust in each other and the respect to count on each other to not do something crazy or stupid, but also, you know, race hard for every last inch of real estate. To me, that was enjoyable despite the track that it was at.
Yeah, Belle Isle, I think, was the surprise of the season for me as far as, and again, I like that track. I like having an unwieldy stock car on a street course. But sure, I wish it would have gone differently in the end, but alas. No, I think that might have to be the standout of seeing how competitive it was up and down throughout the grid, and the fun there was oval-wise. Kentucky. I really feel like Kentucky was a fascinating race to watch develop. A lot of comers and goers who are able to make, you know, who were quick on the tires early and then used them up too quick, and guys who would wait back and save and had a crazy finish at the end. Although, let me think. Is there any others I'm not forgetting? Scala from the nice booth. You know, we all have our own biases of generally we remember tracks where we're doing better as a good race. But mm-hmm. I mean, up to this point, what was the race so far this season that has been some of the standouts to you for races of the season?
You got me thinking here. Part of me wants to say this, and I mean it in a positive way. Part of me is like, you know, maybe we haven't seen that race yet. And I say that from the standpoint of, like, all the races have been good, but I'm still waiting for that one race to kind of, I guess, grab me, so to say, and be like, wow, that was really, really good. The Belle Isle race was fantastic. Daytona's Daytona. Knoxville actually really surprised me. So maybe I put that at the top right now, for the sake of, I didn't expect that kind of racing. Vegas, because of the fuel mileage, that's up there. You had a guy pretty much sputtering off turn four, somehow coast to victory lane, or else Sam Fontaine's won three in a row at this moment. So, I mean, I guess to name a few off the top of my head, but I think when we get into tracks like Gateway coming up in a few weeks, the Michigan race, I think, always stands on its own potentially. I guess right now I would say Knoxville if I had to answer the question.
Sometimes I forget about Vegas. Vegas was an amazing race. Like you said, as far as it comes to strategy, when it was playing off strategy like that, it really came down to the end. It was a nail biter for sure.
Yeah, the only track that I mean, the Chicagoland finales are always great races, I feel like. They just have a lot of variables at play. But man, you always have to earmark that Indy race for both the intensity of it, the fuel mileage aspect. I can't think of an Indy race. I could research it and maybe find it, but off the top of my head, every Indy race has been a sizzler. I actually drove by it this weekend more than once. So that one's kind of earmarked for me as a thriller. And again, the pressure is always on for it's the last one before the finale. So I always feel like that race is almost more, not to say more intense than Chicagoland, but because Chicagoland, there's always the tire management and the fuel management going on. And it's just a longer, slower, not slower pace of a race, but you know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Indy is always frantic. And there's just the stress of the fuel always in the back of your mind. So that one's definitely going to be earmarked for me. And I still think that, I mean, we haven't talked about it, but I think Red Bull Ring is going to be insane because, Agreed. You know, much more on the opposite end of Belle Isle, where it's the stress of the confines of the track. Belle Isle or Red Bull Ring has a lot of room. Now, there's definitely some runoff areas people are going to have to be careful about for 1Xs, but practicing, they won't have to worry about that. But that's why I'm glad that we had those two tracks kind of paired together. And that's a track that pairs so well with the truck. I don't know what it is. It's fun. I'm excited. Luke, I'm actually excited to see what you think of that, because I know you have some strong opinions on stuff and you're a good guy on a road course. So I'm excited to see what you feel of that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say I'm kind of like Lane Sparling, except my internet can make it all the way through a race at Belle Isle.
Wow.
Ooh. Oh, dang, I wasn't muted.
Slightly well, uncalled for.
I was going to say I've done a few laps around the Red Bull Ring in the truck, and now, yes, I do have strong opinions, and I am pretty adamantly against stock cars on road courses. I think they drive pretty terribly.
What? Whoa.
Wow.
Hello?
Damn.
I think Blaine just cyber attacked Luke.
I was about to say, Knox Blaine, and then his phone melts. All right. Noted. Gonna have to move it in there.
Anybody notice you made a comment about his internet staying on?
Karma's a bitch.
He's still talking, which is even funnier.
The truck around the Red Bull Ring. It's pretty fun. It depends a lot on the setup, and it, you know, it remains to be seen what we get out of it. But I was just test driving some of the baseline iRacing setups. I've heard good things about the Watkins Glen set from Sean. I tried that, but I haven't done it. And I would say if you try that around there, it's definitely a lot of fun. You still have the tire management coming into play. You still need to have throttle control, but it hooks up, and it's actually surprisingly fun to drive around. And that's coming from a guy who really likes stock cars on road courses. So I would say that's definitely something that we can all look forward to, and it gives a lot of people a chance. That could be a pretty nice with a lot of docking for and things moving around and alternate depending on where the competition caution comes out. So that's the race that I've definitely as we forward to.
So anybody here want to be the guy to break the tone that we heard like a third of his conversation?
Yeah, I hope he's not racing on that internet.
Oh, that is a heartbreak.
Hey, I know the Wendy's next door reaches, but you don't need to use it.
You literally throw Blaine's internet under the bus, and about a second later, your internet goes kaput.
Oh, classic.
Okay, gonna pull a Verizon here. Can you hear me now?
Good.
All right. Well, in my defense, I'm not at home right now. This is not my usual internet. I'm on my phone.
Fair, he isn't.
And I appreciate all the effort to tag in on the show for tonight, because it's definitely, I'm enjoying having a lot of voices on the program. Now, I'm sure we could all say, oh, what was your least favorite race? But it'll all be the ones that we wrecked out at. So I'm going to try and keep this on the uplifts and on the positive. What track that was added for next season's calendar are you the most excited to race? And we'll do that in reverse order. So then, Luke, you would go first.
All right. Well, first, I'd like to double check that y'all can actually hear me, and this will make it into the podcast. The second, well, sticking with the road course theme, I would say I'm really looking forward to Mosport, or Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, depending on how you call it. I think that's a really fun track. I don't know how it'll be in the trucks. I've never driven these things around here, but it's a beautiful track, lots of elevation changes, lots of variety, and it's got this fast flowing nature to it, very high commitment corners. And I think that's a recipe for a lot of fun, but also involves tire management. You have to look after your equipment while also trying to put down a fast lap, and you could see a lot of different things play out there. But I am also pretty stoked to see a lot of the short tracks coming out, or shorter tracks, because I personally prefer the tracks where you're not full throttle all the way around the track, like Las Vegas, Kentucky. I'm not really a big fan of that. I like the ones where you have to lift. And Milwaukee, Rockingham, Myrtle Beach. It's a lot to look forward to. I think next season's schedule is very, very promising, and I'm super excited about it.
Just going to add, Millsport was the last podium I had, so maybe I'll have good luck again.
Anyway, yeah, why did you get that podium?
Because I survived, so that's how you do that.
Not the guy that told you to pit before the caution?
I mean, I took the advice.
Okay.
Anywho, Josh, if you need a refresher, I've got the list here, too.
No, I got it in front of me. Honorable mention, and only if it's old, but Old Atlanta, that'd be an honorable mention. But for me, I think Pocono and Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach is one of my favorite tracks in the service, so I'm excited to see how that turns out with 30 trucks on track. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. And, you know, Pocono's Pocono. It's always fun.
I want to do a quick poll. Not to pull the rug out from you if you had any more comments you're good. Tracks. And I'm pretty sure Sean confirmed will run Legacy Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Short tracks definitely seem to be a lot of your guys' vibes. So a part of the big short track buildup is the, you know, multiple races that build to a main. What would your gut reaction be? Again, I'm not an admin. I have no sway on this. If we ran our short track races like that, as opposed to just full on race, regular points at the end.
I think heats would make that 10 times better.
I agree. I feel like a Friday night racing kind of local track thing to do.
Well, to quote Ricky Bobby, are we about to do it? Because I'm harder than a diamond in an ice storm right now, baby.
I've always said, I think more people would be more excited if we did it in that style. Now, I understand from the points aspect, that's harder for calculating, and that's not my job. So I am sympathetic to that. But I mean, I know when we ran the Beach Ball Derby and we did trucks at Five Flags, I enjoyed it a million times more when we got to do the heats and the build up to the main, and it wasn't just a cluster. I'm trying to keep that.
There it is. This episode,
a cluster the whole time of just, you know, gnashing your teeth and waiting. You know, I know last race was 225 laps. We could do that 225 lap total over a few different races, and I still think, I mean, that's why I think the dirt races are my favorite. I love that moment where I'm out of the truck actually being like, the hype is building up as you're watching the other guys out on track. You're like, oh man, I can't wait for me to go out there. Did you see this? Did you see that? So, admins, if you're listening, obviously we're the most important people. So, that's a bunch of yes. The only person I didn't hear from is Chris or Scala.
The schedule changes I am looking forward to. I think seeing the Super Speedway race being in the middle of the season, I think that is one that I'm finding intriguing. Starting the season at a traditional, I guess so to say, traditional mile and a half track is interesting. I'm just peeking at the schedule one more again right now while I'm just seeing what catches off my eye as more people continue to blow their fingers off outside.
Sorry about that. That's definitely my mic that's doing that. Also, Chris Evans, we still need to get to you too. So don't worry. Forget about you.
I think Montreal is going to be good, Luke. And I think, here, this stretch right here. So basically, you go from Atlanta, Pocono, Rockingham, and then that race at Port Royal. From that point all the way to Michigan, you have a dirt track, a chicane-like road course, a super speedway, a mile that is going to drive like a short track, Michigan, a short track.
That's the track I'm actually the most excited for, and is Iowa, because I've enjoyed all the officials I've ever done in Iowa, and I'm surprised no one said it yet.
Myrtle Beach will be fun, because it's a new track.
Mm-hmm.
Evans.
Well, you guys should know what I'm going to say here for the one of them. It's Talladega. But probably going to be my most excited one would be probably Myrtle Beach, especially if I don't hit the turtles in turns one and two. Because they're pretty brutal, but I should have a good run there. I don't really call it a short track, but it is. Does it feel like one? But I'm going to say that one.
I feel like that's the whole point of Myrtle Beach, though, right?
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Of that style, though, of short tracks, is a lot of people seem very, very excited for Myrtle Beach. Is there one that's, like, above that for you guys? Would it be Five Flags? Would it be a different one that I don't know? Because, like, I don't know a lot of short tracks.
Five Flags, all the way. Five Flags is the best.
I personally like Southern National. There, you can get both lanes going the longer the race goes.
I know this is a hot take, but I personally, and again, personally, really enjoy Concord.
Concord's a fun track. Yes, that is.
I wish it was the oval Concord, not the triangle.
I think that's what I like about it, though, is a tri-oval.
Yeah.
I'm biased, you know?
It's like poking a left in the dryer too long.
Yes.
I also like Pocono a lot. I mean, I'm a big fan of tracks that you have to drive differently from one end to the other. Mm-hmm. And those tricky triangle tracks, I think, also really fit into that because you've got three distinct corners and you really have to think about it and drive differently. And to me, that's pretty fun.
Now, normally, this is something that we would talk about in like after we get done with Michigan. We make our wild predictions for Final Four and stuff like that. But we've got a committee here, and I can't pass up the opportunity to get a bunch of different hot takes. What are your guys's way too early predictions of who your Final Four drivers are? I'm excited to hear what some guys say.
Fontaine. I mean,
okay. One.
I'll take time to think about the others, but Fontaine number one. I think Cummins has a really good shot. I don't have the list in front of me of who else is in the top 10. Could you, if you have the points pulled up, would you mind going to
I can screenshot it.
You can get them at GreatLakesSimRacing.com, actually.
Well, let me see if my internet will allow me to pull that up.
I've got mine pulled up. I'll say mine real quick. I'm thinking Fontaine, hot take, Telder, Cummings, and probably Blaine. Yeah. So Cummings, Fontaine, Telder, Blaine.
All right. Who hasn't gone yet?
I'm actually going to say Alex Cummings, Fontaine, Oliphant, and Blaine.
So I think I'm going to say Cummings, Fontaine, Bondo, And then it's really a toss-up because, I mean, Alphen and Blaine and also Dalton, it's really hard to pick between those three. However, Telder, I'm car owner. I love him and I hate him, but I'm not going to pick him for the final four. And the reason for that is I feel like the last few races of the schedule don't really suit him as well as the earlier races do. Because to put it simply, Telder is, for better or worse, king of the shit shows. We've been to a lot of shit show tracks, and he's been able to kick some ass there. But in the playoffs, that's going to be a little bit different, and I don't know if that's going to work as well. I mean, he'll be good for sure, but I don't think he'll be able to quite get it done compared to the other drivers that we've just named, who I think are probably going to be just that little bit quicker in those races. And on a related note, I have just been canned from Lap 1 Legends. As soon as this podcast goes out.
As of today.
R.I.P.
Who hasn't gone yet? Yeah.
Oh, I just really quick. There's something like he's a wild card. I feel like it's just his brawn, his balls to just go out there and do it sometimes, you know?
Who is this?
Telder. Sorry.
Okay. I thought you were building up to a name. No, oh man. I want to put Telder in my final four, but I just can't. Fontaine, Cummings, those are the easy ones. I've got to give Blaine a spot, not just because he's my driver, but I mean, he's been very consistent, but he's raising that consistency. Mm-hmm. It used to be Blaine would pop in top tens here and there, and you'd be like, hey, Blaine Sparlow got a ninth there. And now mm-hmm. it's, hey, he got sixths. Now he just keeps popping up in the top five all the time. Last race, he could have been second. I'm not going to say should have been. Things had aligned until that late caution came out that he almost took second. He loves strategy. If he can get to the final four, he could go for two. I would not sleep on Blaine to be a surprise again for a championship. That last spot, I don't want to sleep on Alphen, because he's had bad internet, I know he can do it. And I know he's not even in the top 10 yet, but you look at guys like Bondurant or Peachin, both of those guys 100% have the capability and typically do well at these tracks. I don't feel good about, I mean, Dean did have a good race. He's getting better at road course racing. Sutphen and Dalton, I just think that all those guys are going to really be hindered by Red Bull Ring. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Then again, Fontaine did raise a lot of those guys' game, I feel like, for Belle Isle. Dean just had some bad luck. My fourth guy, I don't know. Alphen, I just feel like he's been doing too well and just having a lot of bad luck. Scala, what do you think?
It's tough right now because we're at, you know, an all-star race, and then we got Michigan, and then again, here we have all these trucks within so many points of each other, especially with Brandon having the internet issues. You know, we got a tie for third right now. We got fifth place is only 18 back. You've got Cook is, you know, not even 50 points back, and then Blaine's right there, Dean, all these guys, and you get down here to 11th. Bondo's only 40 behind, which is about 8 spots roughly. Peachin, Peyton Johnson's in here. There's so many good names here that could work their way into the top 10, but you ask for a final four. So I'm going to give you Fontaine. I am going to pick. Thinking of the tracks here. I will give you. I'm going to reach out a little bit and give you Dean. I'm gonna throw Telder in there. and Brandon Offen, unbiasedly. You know, if his internet continues to work out, he's been one of the more consistent drivers. As a matter of fact, all of them. Teller's been very consistent all season. Offen's been consistent. Dean is, you know, he's got, you know, four top tens, but, you know, he knows how to get through these tracks, not to mention Gateway. He's pretty good there. So I think if he gets through that, he'll work his way up in there. And I just see too many things happening. And of course, you're wondering why I left Alex Cummings off the list. I hope he did not get too hot too fast.
You see, I'll take my hot take here. I don't think Cummings did get too hot too fast. I mean, sure, I'm biased because I'm his teammate, but I mean, first of all, the gap's pretty dang good behind the wheel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Second, he's smart and he's conservative. And if you watch IndyCar at all, he's like a Scott Dixon. He's just like, where the heck did that guy come from? And then suddenly, boom, top five.
Yep.
Or top three. You know, just out of nowhere. He's just really quietly moving his way up to the front, avoiding all the problems, not doing much wrong. And he's got the versatility that he can be fast on any type of racetrack. He showed that at Belle Isle, and he showed that at the short tracks and the super speedways and everywhere in between. I think it's pretty hard to pick against Cummins for the final four. I mean, sure, I think Fontaine is probably the favorite at this point to win the championship, but I really think, like, I hate to say lock-ins because anything could happen, but Fontaine and Cummins are really my two that I have almost, quote-unquote, locked in to the final four because I feel like they're that solid at the tracks we have remaining.
Oh, 100%. And I feel like if there was a team that were going to get two drivers in, it would be between KJD2 or Lap 1 Legends. I mean, I do believe DOR could do it. I think Sean has the ability. I think Blaine does too. I mean, all those teams, really. No disrespect to TIX. I mean, I think Drayton, I mean, I can't speak to this, but I just feel like recently he hasn't had a lot of luck. Maybe he's just in the wrong place at the wrong time a lot, but I can't remember him doing particularly well at road courses. But everywhere else, I feel like he's just in the mix. So, I mean, all those teams could put two guys in the playoffs. So, you know, absolutely Alex could make it. Absolutely Teller could make it. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be stressful. But, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. I said free for all when I put that post up. So if you guys have something you want to talk about or bring up, this is your chance. This is your moment. Door is open.
All right. Well,
uh-oh.
Since I was promised an opportunity to rant, and you know I can't, you know me, I can't pass up a good rant. I would just like to throw this out there. One of the biggest regrets of this season was a little bet that Telder and I had behind the scenes on the outcome of this season, and the winner of the bet just is determined by who finishes higher in the point standings, which at this point, because Telder is basically a lock in for the playoffs and I'm pretty much a lock out of the playoffs, has been settled and I've already sent him the money. So I've paid the Lap 1 Legends team fee for next season. But I just want to throw this out there because I think we might be able to repeat this bet next season. If Telder loses the bet, he has to run a full season an IndyCar Open officials.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Right. So I think, you know, if I'd made that public a little bit sooner, maybe he'd have gotten some more doors and fenders sent his way or whatever. But you know, maybe we could get the league on board and help this happen. You know.
I actually can't wait to start doing some open wheeled stuff. I've been crazy all over the place, but I did join that one league. Fully intend to do it and still will. So that's an aside. The other championship we haven't talked enough about, speaking of Matt Telder and the Lap 1 Legends team championship, It's getting really close at the top. Lap 1 Legends are sitting at 2,851 and KJD2 is at 2,822. Does that stay that way or do we see some surprises?
they're both really stacked teams. I feel like
it's
hard to say right now.
I don't know. It's when what team is firing on all cylinders? Because I mean, you've got your guys who are always seem to be ticking. Your Fontaines, your Alex Cummings. Then you got guys who are hot shoes, but you don't know what they're gonna do. That's like Telder or Dean. And then you've got your guys who are they gonna have bad luck or good luck today? That's Bondurant or Dalton. And then you've got the guys who. And Luke, I hope you think this is a fair assessment. You don't know what they're going to do with you or Sutphin. Like, I don't know. I feel like you can match those guys up one for one. And they are both strong teams where you don't know what they're going to bring to the table that day.
That's true. It's definitely tough to pick for sure. I mean, of course, if I was a betting man, I'd throw all my chips on the Lap 1 Legends because I'm not at all biased, I promise.
Not at all.
But as a slight aside here, last I checked in the fantasy, I've been like number one or number two in the fantasy standings most weeks. And you know, I feel like we're late enough in the season, I can give away my strategy, which is basically Fontaine plus three of the Lap 1 Legends. You do that, you do pretty good. You rotate out the picks. If you're at like a mile and a half, like a Vegas or any track that's rough, like a Martinsville or a Bristol, don't pick me, for example. at a road course, maybe consider picking me. But, you know, you rotate out your choice. Like, who do you get rid of? I mean, Cummins and Bondo are generally pretty good picks most of the time, and then it's just like a toss-up between like me and Telda sometimes. Sometimes I have deviated a couple times, maybe to pick podcast recommendations that haven't worked out, and I'm not at all salty about that, I promise. But really, the Fontaine plus three from the Lap 1 Legends theme strategy has actually worked out really solid. So, I don't have a patent on that, so feel free to copy that if y'all want.
Heavens, Josh, the floor is all there for you to take if you got something.
Personally, I think Lap 1's going to take the team championship this year. They've been pretty consistent, even though KJD2 has been, they're pretty stacked on paper, but over the last couple of races, Lap 1 Legends are pretty, they're picking up the pace here.
Again, like I said, I feel like it could definitely go both ways. They're both super stacked teams with really talented drivers, and everyone has their on days, everybody has their off days. So I feel like it's a crapshoot right now. We'll look at it a little further down the road, you know?
All right. Scala?
I obviously, unbiasedly, have watched the TIX team struggle here the last couple of races. They had a pretty good start. But you know, it's kind of falling off. KJD2 is on fire right now. You know, the Lap 1, those guys, they've been consistent all season. And I think it's going to come down to those two teams unless TIX wakes up. But otherwise, it could get close. Put it like this. I think the race at Red Bull is going to determine it when it's over with. I think if both teams can get through this Michigan race in 2 weeks and then get through the Gateway race, get to Red Bull, I think whatever team has the better run after that race, I think is going to be on the sunset ride home to the championship.
All right, well, we're getting to the waning hours of the show, but I was trying to think about any other things where I'd love to pull the opinions of many peoples, and I'd like to get some early predictions. The end of season voting is still many weeks away, but we have definitely gotten a pulse of ideas of who we think is going to win what. So from each of you, I would like to hear who you think your most improved is, your worst luck is, and your wrecking ball. Go out on a spicy one. So, who should we start with? Evans, I want your three on that.
Most improved. Honestly, I feel like myself, because the last couple of seasons have been pretty shitty. But this season, I've been probably, what, I got like 3 top 10s, I think it is. Should have had a couple top 5s, but worst luck is you, Sam.
Really? Me?
Yeah. Especially last week. You had a pretty fast track, and then Dean kind of, you know.
Yeah, well, you had to give me an old DOR reminder.
And Wrecking Ball.
Spicy. Here we go.
I really don't know. Who's wrecked a lot this year? I know I have. So I want to say me, because I feel like I wrecked way too many times this year, but I'll say me.
All right. Those are 3 interests and choices you got there. Josh, what do you think?
For most improved, my rookie season, so I don't really have much to say about that. But I guess worst luck, I'd say, yeah, either you or Sean, for sure. That's just been like, I root for you guys every weekend. And it's just like, oh, you know, it's really sad. It hurts my soul. And then pour one out, please. And then Wrecking Ball. I mean, I wreck a lot, so I would like to say it myself. But if I'm gonna say a name, I'm gonna have to say Drayton Cook.
Ooh, shots fired!
Yeah, bow bow. Sorry, Drayton. Right.
Luke, come on! I know you're gonna give me a spicy one.
Okay, so before I piss anyone off here, I would like.
No, that's what this show's for. You do it.
I would like some clarification on. Number one, how spicy I'm allowed to be, because I know I was told before the show went on the air to not be a 4-letter word for a male reproductive organ.
What?
And the second, like, well, I mean, just kind of related to that. I mean, what is your criteria for Wrecking Ball? As in, like, most dangerous, or like most likely to cause me to poop my pants being around them, or most incident points, or what?
Oh, man. I mean, again, it's fine. I'll lay it this way. No personal attacks. One, you know, it's for fun. I know. Fine. I'll say it this way. For Wrecking Ball, I know personally, I would say, you know, I love the guy to death. He's got a lot going on right now, and he also has not caught a lot of races. But, like, Travis, it's just been a tough year, and I feel so bad for the dude. And it's just like, it's, you know, like so. So somewhere in the middle. I'll say somewhere in the middle. He's still thinking.
Yep.
We lost somebody.
Oh, there he goes. How convenient. Pull the plug on the internet.
Oh, nice. That's great.
What, the Wendy's clothes?
We're right. So, for most improved, I'd have to go with, well, either Josh or possibly myself, because we're both rookies in our notes. It's a little bit, you know, I know it's probably a little bit biased to pick myself, but, you know, I don't really have a lot of truck experience. I almost never race these in officials. So, like, I'm very, very inexperienced in these vehicles, and I started off pretty far off the pace, and it took a lot of work to get up to be anywhere near respectable times for these things, and I still have to learn to manage tires. For worst luck, I definitely have to pick myself. A close second would be Bondo. He's had it rough, and I could argue putting him ahead of me because he's faster than me, so then when his luck goes badly, it's a lot more unfortunate than just, you know, some scrub who, like me, who's in 10th or 15th or 20th, whatever. But like the last 3 races I've been wrecked out of, like, I've watched the replay repeatedly, and I'm just like, I don't know what on earth I could have done differently to avoid that. I just got straight up screwed, and that's happened quite a few times this season. So I do feel like I've had some pretty terrible luck. As far as Wrecking Ball, if we're going off of, I don't know. I mean, most likely to cause a wreck, I'm going to have to say Ryan Douglas. He's definitely been involved in some incidents, and
I wish he'd clean it up, because when he hops into some races, like, yeah, sure, he can have some decent pace, but he definitely can tear up some sheet metal. And I wish he would change that. But feel free to edit that part out if that's not PC enough. If that's not PC enough, I mean, I guess my more PC answer would be Sam Barnes. Not that it's all your fault, but you know, just as I'll go with you if that my prior pick doesn't make the cut.
I like both. I like both. I'll tell you what, maybe a little biasedly, I do think I've improved a lot. However, I think by improving and putting myself in more racy positions, I'm also making more mistakes. So I think that's a fair assessment. I'll say this.
I think you're comparing yourself to last season to now, whereas my only frame of reference is like this season so far. And right. I think you started off already pretty good. So from an outsider coming into the league this year, or this season, it doesn't look like you've improved that much, because it's not like you started off in a bad place, if that makes sense.
No, that's fair. I think I had a bell curve going. I think early on I was pretty bad. Seasons 2 and 3 started getting better, and then I went on a very big slide. So I do think I've done better this season. Although my official pick for most improved, and I can't believe no one said it, I think it's Matt Telder. He's done great. And he's someone we used to always poke a lot of fun at, still do. But I mean, he's sitting third in points. How can you argue that? Toughest luck? Toughness? I mean, the guy's fast every week and something goes wrong every week. I mean, he drove through the field a few times. I mean, I think if he wasn't the one who had the wheels spin up on the Martinsville start, he would have been way more in the discussion for driver of the day, because he did a great job. And I think then maybe he could have brought a little more fight to Fontaine. But I would say DUR minus Blaine, we've all been nominated for wrecking ball, because it's been a wrecky season for us. So Scala,
yes,
it's up to you. Finish us off and wrap up this show with your three thoughts so far on that this season.
The most improved driver has not even been mentioned by any of you guys. Period. Oh. And I'm going off of from the start of the season all the way to now. Nobody, and he's missed a couple races now, so it's not going to look as good. Nobody has said the name Robert Lukens.
That's a good point.
That's damn true.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy almost won Daytona and was sitting top 5 in points after about 4 races.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's fallen a little bit. But just those few moments right there. Now, granted, 5 races from now, this could change because, yes, unfortunately, he has fallen down the board. But when I look at improvement, I'm like, all right, who has struggled a lot? And when I think of the word struggle, I don't mean like wrecked a lot or thing. I mean like not really ran well at all. And I think immediately Robert Lukens, of him being towards the back most of the races. And he was actually up front for a decent portion of these races, actually competing for top 10s and top 15 finishes, which we've never seen until this year. So that's where I think that factor comes in. As for the award for the, of course I just went brain dead with this one. The Wreck-A-Lot guy, the Wreck-A-Lot award. I'm not afraid to say this, Drayton Cook. And he'll probably disagree with me, but you know, I look at some of the wrecks and some of the things he's caused out there on the track. I mean, he can argue what he wants to, but my opinion, I mean, he went 3 lanes up the track, knocked Telder out of the way at Bristol to win that race. Detroit, he about put 4 trucks in the river. And
no, he did.
I mean, all but. You know, and he's admitted fault to some of those, but and part of that too, I think, is his reaction to some of the stuff. You look at some of the things he said in the boxing ring and things, it's, you know, maybe he's taken a little bit of responsibility, but at the same time, he's like, oh, well, it happened. And it's kind of different to me. It's like to a point when you ruin somebody's race or whatever like that, there's a party that's gotta be like, look, that's my fault, you know, I'm sorry it happened, da 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 da. But his, like, should have been there kind of mentality, and that kind of adds to the way you drive. I think both of those come together to create that award. As for the worst luck, wow. Looking down here in the points a little bit here.
Oh, come on, crew chief. You know the answer to this.
The worst. You know what? I got a good one for you. Cody Beatty.
Oh.
I'm going with Cody because, I mean, the man was running pretty decent and then all of a sudden had to step away. That's bad luck right there.
Yeah, it is. It very is, especially if he was my team. Well, he was on my team, so now I have me and Drift.
All right. Well, I want to thank everyone. I mean, this was definitely very impromptu, which I appreciate all you coming out and staying up late with us here. We're going to do this more often. I enjoyed this. Usually it's just me and Chris and one guest, but this was, you know, every now and then I think we'll have to sprinkle in these more big shows where you get a few guys on, because there's so many things that, again, especially me, I only see one perspective from my truck, and it's usually a wall. Or it's me having Sam Fontaine run into the back of me. Or him running in the back of me because I can't decide which way to go. But, you know, there's a lot of different perspectives and opinions and ideas, and I'm glad that we can have them all on one show. I'm super excited for the All-Star Race. Something different, something fun. Thank you, Chris Scala, for always broadcasting the races and doing the fantastic, amazing job you do. I'm excited for the new mic next weekend.
I scared you.
You all, I'm an anxious individual. You know this. And of course, thank you, Black Horizon. And if you haven't yet, check out Dr. Squash for some of the cool soap stuff we've got with them. But remember, take it easy into turn one, because we are just here for the GLSR.